following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the Upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
So turn in your Bible to Psalm chapter 20. All right, Psalm 20. I hope that song gets in your head because that's really fun to sing, but it's really at the heart of this psalm. So basically, that song is asking, as well as Psalm 20, what are you depending on to give you hope? What are you, I want you to just kind of bring it down now in your heart and your mind, and think about what is it that you depend on to give you hope? Or another way to put it is, what is the object of your focus as you think about hopefulness and that which will help you through, and what are you trusting on or trusting in? Our hearts, and here's kind of the underlying truth here, our hearts always tend to drift to where our eyes are focused. So the things that we put in front of us, the object of our focus or that which we are depending on, if your eyes are continually, let me put it this way, looking at all of the troubles around you, your heart will follow. If your eyes are continually fixated or focused on the issues of life, the struggles, the trials, or other things that we can put our eyes on, then our heart will follow along with that focus. It was interesting. I don't know if you guys are getting into the Olympics at all. I love the Olympics. I do. I'm popping them on every night. I'm not the watch on Peacock every event, but I do like watching every night. And we're taping it and watching it and as a family. So one of the crazy things in the Olympics, this last week was gymnastics. And honestly, one of the most crazy things in the Olympics is when these women gymnasts get on the balance beam. Does that not just, what they can do on 4 inches? I cannot even walk a straight line on 4 inches. And they're doing all of this crazy stuff, even flipping up onto it. Just incredible. And Lori Hernandez is the gal that's doing the color commentator for the women's gymnastics, probably men's and women's. But she said this, and it really struck me as she was talking about how these ladies compete on the beam. And she said this, the number one rule, this is a quote, I heard her very specifically. The number one rule on the balance beam is to keep your eyes focused on the end of the beam. So as they're doing their flips and their all the various things they do, the only way they can stay on that beam, apparently, according to Lori, is number one rule, keep your eye focused on the end of the beam. Because if you're looking anywhere else, you're going to come off of that beam. You're going to run into all kinds of trouble. If you're looking at the crowd or looking at something else, you know, our hearts always tend to drift to where our eyes are focused. Well, so that is kind of an introductory thought to Psalm 20. Because Psalm 20 is really teaching us where to look, where to focus, where to fix our eyes, particularly in times of trouble, when life throws us curveballs and when things don't go the way we want them to, or, you know, we're in the midst of a lot of change, or we all know what all of these things are like. So Psalm 20, verse 1, basically we see that the trouble in Psalm 20 is an enemy that is threatening to invade and conquer, just say it this way, destroy Israel. I mean, it's easy to read back on these battles and these times that Israel was being threatened. It's not hard to imagine Israel being threatened. But it's easy to look back on these times and think, well, of course God was going to get them through. You know, we know kind of how the story goes, at least throughout the Old Testament. But you know what? When you're living these things in real time, you have no idea what the end result is going to be. And one of these scenarios, we don't know which one, it's not dated in terms of a specific time, but Israel is being threatened by an outside foreign army. And that's the trouble that they face. So with that in mind, let's look at Psalm 20, read through these 9 verses, and we'll come back and really look at them and how they apply to our lives. I'll go and throw it on the screen too. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt offerings. Selah. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. For some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall. They are brought to their knees and fall. But we rise up and stand firm. We rise and stand aright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. Okay. Now let me help you understand kind of the dynamic of what's going on here. This psalm basically falls into 3 sections. The first section, verses 1-5, is the people are calling to David. They are talking to David specifically, directly. Verses 6, 7, and 8, we have David, in essence, he's responding to the people, but he's also directing his heart and calling out to the Lord. So it is David's response to the cry of the people. And then the last verse, verse 9, is David and the people are calling out to the Lord. So that makes Psalm 20 a bit interesting. I ran across this quote by a guy named Glenn Harris. Psalm 20 is different from most other psalms. In terms of category, it's considered a royal psalm having to do with kingship and majesty. We see that language here. You know, God save the king. We'll talk about that in a minute. What makes it stand out, though, as unique is the voicing. The voicing. With the exception of 3 verses, it isn't the king speaking, but rather the people speaking to him. And then him and the king, and David speaking to the Lord. In fact, much more than speaking to the king, they are actually cheering him on when he had to go to war. So that's the trouble that's facing Israel. David and the army are headed off to fight a battle against an oppressive army, and the people are coming together to cheer him on, to give him encouragement. Again, I think about this last week in another venue of the Olympics, and that's the swimming venue. One of the heroes of this year's Olympics is a guy named Leon Marchand. He's a French swimmer, and if you've been paying attention, it's so cool because he's in his home country, and that's very rare when you peak and it's the Olympics are in your home country. Well, this 20-year-old, maybe even, 21, he's not very old. And he is just completely peaking. He's at his prime. And what's really been fun, have you watched him in the breaststroke? You know when they do the breaststroke? They go down underwater and then they just pop up, right? Boop. And what's been so much, have you noticed what the French crowds primarily are doing every time he pops out of the water? They're cheering. but it's in these waves as his head pops out. It's really kind of, it's so cool to watch, is every time in the breaststroke he comes out, the whole crowd goes, yeah. It's just, and he is killing it. It is, it's been fun to watch as they have just totally got behind him and cheered him on. And so thinking about that encouragement that he received, churches, we think about Psalm 20. This wasn't obviously the Olympics. This was life and death. The fate of the nation was completely tied to David and the army. Just to put it another way, as David went, so went the people. Their fate was completely wrapped up in David's success or his failure. But you know what? As we think about Psalm 20, David, I'll ask it this way. Is David the real focus of the psalm? The voicing is the people speaking, at least the first five verses, to David. But I ask, is David the real focus of the psalm? And I think the answer is no, right? First three verses, may the Lord answer you, David, in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he, the Lord, Yahweh, send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. It's interesting just thinking about the sanctuary, which was at this point still a tent. It was a tabernacle. David wanted to build the temple, but that fell to his son Solomon. So the presence of God, the Holy of Holies, was literally in a tabernacle, in a tent. And Zion is actually the hill, Mount Moriah or Zion, is the hill upon which Jerusalem ultimately is built. But this is a dependence on the God of Jacob and trusting the Lord Yahweh to send help from the sanctuary, from his place of presence, from the tabernacle, and give you support from his holy hill, the mountain of the Lord. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt offerings. David, we are praying that you've been worshiping well. David, we are praying and trusting that you are right with God and that he, God, Yahweh, has been receiving with favor all of your offerings. Because as you go, David, we go. But the focus really, as we see here, is not David. The people are looking beyond David to the Lord, to Yahweh. And as I thought about that, I thought, this is where we get so messed up, don't we? In terms of where we put our hope, where we put our trust. We stop looking, so to speak, at the end of the beam and fix our eyes on all kinds of other things, or even thinking about the political climate in our country, upon people or leaders or processes. But if this goes down to every aspect of our lives where we so easily put our eyes on places or people or objects other than the Lord. And that's one of the things I love about this psalm. Yes, they are calling out to David, but this is a prayer to the Lord, to the Lord. And I don't want you to miss where this psalm goes next. Right at the end of verse 3, it seems like such a simple word, Selah. 39 of the psalms, of the 150 psalms, have this word in them. It occurs 71 times throughout the psalms. We're not exactly sure what Selah means. We know that all of the psalms that it appears in are songs, and most of them are written to the choir master. So it is suspected that Selah is a musical term, or at least something to do with how this song was sung. It could be an instrumental aspect, or But most all agree, most Bible scholars agree that this is a pause in the song, at least an instrumental pause. It's a moment in the song where you take a breath and when you pause. And I want you to do that even right now in the middle of this psalm. If you wouldn't mind just bowing your hearts with me, even your eyes, and acknowledging, Lord God Almighty, Yahweh is your name, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who reigns and rules from your throne on high. God, we, all of us, can be so, I think of the word fickle, in our hearts. We so easily turn to other lesser things, lower G gods. We're all guilty of it. Lord, as we're making our way through the balance beam of life, and it is so easy to take our eyes off of the end of the beam. It is so easy to fix our eyes on our fears or on all of the things that could go wrong or place our hope on other people. And Lord God, even right now in this Selah, we pause. And we thank you that you are the King of Kings. You are the God of the universe. You are the creator of all things. You are the sovereign Lord in complete control. And as we face whatever we're facing today, Lord God, we fix our eyes on you. We still and quiet our hearts before you. And we remember in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to ask you to look back at the screen at this verse out of Exodus 14:14. The Lord, church, will fight for you. You need only to be still. Trust him. He's got you. Keep your eyes on him. And the people then continue in verses 4 and 5. May he, Yahweh, grant your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all of your petitions. David, we are with you. We're trusting in God's victory. And there's two things. Most Bible commentaries say that verse 5 is really at the heart of Psalm 20. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. Two things that I think about when I think about the heart of this psalm. First of all is the confidence. May we shout for joy and raise our banners. You see, they are already visualizing the victory parade, aren't they? They're already with confidence in God Almighty, in Yahweh, believing and trusting in the salvation of the Lord, in the deliverance and victory of the Lord. Confidence. Love that. And it's also their focus. Their focus is on the name of God. The name of God. Which we know, they did not yet know. Jesus is our victor. Jesus is the one who conquered all. They knew him as Yahweh, as the great I am. But we fix our heart and our eyes on Jesus, the King of Kings, as well as Yahweh, Father, and the Spirit of God. David responds, verse 6, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. I know it, confidence again. He will answer him, his anointed, from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. For some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand aright. It's not a difficult jump to think about. Chariots were the symbol of army and military might. You read through the Old Testament accounts of foreign armies, and almost always they'll list the number of chariots that they have. how many men they had, but how many chariots they had. Because these chariots were the symbol and the vehicle of might, of power, of strength. But we know, church, that chariots fail, don't they? They fail. Wheels fall off. They don't always traverse difficult terrain. Chariots fall. Horses wear out. They grow tired. Yeah, horses can be obviously very, very important and useful in war, but chariots fail and horses tire. Ultimately, people can let us down. Leaders can fail us. Things don't always go our way. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But our eyes are on the end of the beam. Our eyes are focused on God Almighty. And I love these four phrases out of these verses. I know, He will, we trust, we rise. Would you say that with me? I know, He will, we trust, we rise. Confidence. And where does our confidence come from? It comes from what we know and believe God will do. Yes, troubles arise. And again, this whole psalm is where to fix our eyes in times of trouble. We fix our eyes on Yahweh, on Jesus. You know, this is why chariots is such a fun song to sing. This is why it translates so easily to singing to a bunch of middle schoolers. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. I'm telling you what, every 13-year-old that I ever sang this song to or with, they got it. They get it. It's fun. So, I'm going to think about your life right now. What is the big unknown in your life right now? You all have one. I do. We do. What is the big unknown? The big what if? The big struggle? The big worry? The big thing that you could focus your attention on right now? What is that in your life? What does the enemy want you to put your confidence in? What does the enemy want you to put your confidence in? Chariots, horses, people, processes? What has Jesus, here's a turning point. What has Jesus already done for you? What has He already done for you? And I mean all the way back on the cross, but even in your life. What has He already done for you, and what has He promised to do again? Again, the pivot of this message is how easy it is to fix our eyes on all of the wrong things instead of putting our eyes on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which brings us to verse 9, which it's interesting. The ESV, English Standard Version, which is the Bible translation that we typically use, and it reads this way, O Lord, save the King. May He answer us when we call. O Lord, save the King. May He answer us. Little h, the King, David, answer us when we call. But I don't typically disagree with the ESV in terms of translation choices. But it's very interesting that a number of other translations, for example, the New American Standard translation, changes it and puts the punctuation in a different spot. And tell me if this doesn't read a little different. Save, Lord. May the King, capital K, answer us on the day that we call. I don't know. The first translation, O Lord, save the King, it just sounds a little British to me. And most biblical scholars, I read a lot on this just before I even put this screen up. And I understand it could go either way. Obviously, the ESV made their choice. The NIV made their choice in terms of where to put the semicolon or the comma or the exclamation point. But I do believe that the better translation is, save, Lord. This is a cry to the Lord that David and the people are making. May the King of Kings, answer us on the day that we call. Our hearts, again, to say it again, always tend to drift to where our eyes are focused. If your eyes are continually looking at the troubles around you, your heart will follow. And church, it is so easy to focus on the things of this life, to get our eyes off of what God is up to. I want to ask you four questions. In terms of even thinking about whatever came to your mind a moment ago, in terms of whatever unknown you're facing, I want to ask you, first of all, are you clear on what the Lord wants you to do? Are you clear on what the Lord wants you to do? And a second question aligned with that is, have you spent time in prayer? Have you dedicated, honestly, ask this question, are you clear on what the Lord wants you to do? And have you spent time seeking Him in prayer? I want to ask a third question, have you gained wise counsel? Are you seeking input from other wise people around you? Again, this is applied to whatever it is in your life that you're facing right now. And fourth, are you trusting Christ to be your salvation? Are you trusting the Lord to be there for you, to get you through, to help you? I think about trusting Christ to be our salvation. Hebrews 12, I couldn't bring this message to a close. Couldn't land this sermon without thinking about Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and by the way, that's referring to Hebrews 11, which is all of the great saints of old, David and Moses and all of the others, Joseph and Daniel, and these people who have lived some struggles, but most of the Hebrews of the faith kept their eyes on the Lord through whatever they were going through ultimately. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. That's this message. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. Save, Lord. Save. I'm looking to you. May the King answer us on the day that we call. I'm going to bring your hearts together in prayer. Lord, we do cry out to you, Yahweh, God of the universe, King of kings, Lord of lords. And we cry, save, Lord, save. We need you. I'm going to invite Carissa and the band to join me up here as we fix our eyes on Jesus. God, we are all faced right now with challenges, struggles in our lives, troubles. But God, we fix our eyes on you. We ask for your mercy, your forgiveness, for the fact that we are, as the old hymn said, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Lord, we are so prone to fix our eyes on things other than you. But to stick with the metaphor, Lord, when we do that, we are so apt to lose our balance, to fall off the beam, even to fall into differing levels of ruin or struggle. Lord Jesus, we thank you. And we see how the people here are certainly crying out to David and trusting, but their eyes are far beyond David. Their eyes are on you, on the God of Jacob and Abraham and Isaac, the one who hears us and can deliver us. We need you, Lord. We need you. Save, King. Answer us in the day of our trouble. We trust you. It is so, so sweet to trust in you, Jesus. To trust in you. Church, let that be our song right now.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.